Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two grad student athletes that will sit down with Seton Hall athletes to get to know them more on a personal level. We're going to talk to them about their athletic career, academic goals, and what it's like being a part of the Seton Hall community. We are excited to do this across the year as we touch into each sports community. Make sure you go follow us on the Pirates Overboard Instagram page to get the latest news on upcoming guests and highlights from shows previously. So, Jonathan, who are we talking to today?
Boom.
Here we go.
All right. Episode 12, VIP guest on tonight. We got Al Amir Dawes, a senior guard for your men's Seton Hall basketball team, a hometown hero. From the town over in Newark, New Jersey, Al Amir attended and played at the Patrick School.
Yes, sir. Yes,
where
sir.
Now Seton Hall head coach Shaheen Holloway also calls his high school alma mater. Al Amir was ESPN top 100 recruit out of high school for the 2019 signing class and took his talents and started his college playing career at Clemson University, where he averaged 11.3 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 2.3 assists per game as a junior. And then he left Clemson with 867 career points before entering the transfer portal and coming back to his home state to become a Seton Hall Pirate. Last season, in his first season at the Hall, Al Amir was twice named to the Big East Weekly Honor Roll, led the Pirates with 12.6 points per game, minutes 31.4, and three-point field goals made with 78. On top of this, he was the first Pirate to lead the team in scoring in his first season since UG Harvey in 2006 and 2007. It's a long time.
Yes, sir.
And in only the short time here at Seton Hall, Al Amir has already made a phenomenal impact both on the court and off the court as well. We know this man is extremely busy with everything he's got going on, especially with a long-awaited college basketball season about to begin. So we'll get right into it. Without further ado, Al Amir Dawes.
Welcome to the studio.
Appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, it's been a crazy day being a college athlete all over the place. But hey, we love that you're here. We appreciate your time. We know that you got a lot of things to focus on, whether it's on the court and in the classroom. So first things first, how are you? How's your day been so far? Just really talk about what's been going on today.
Oh, man, you know, thanks for asking. I've been good. You know, just getting ready for the season. First game Monday. Yep. And, you know, I've just been in the gym, man. Just in the gym, keeping my head down, trying to work on all aspects of my game. You know, trying to be there for my team and make sure we right, make sure we in a good headspace. And, you know, just you know, surrounding myself around them a lot and just, you know, like I said, you're just getting ready for the season. So,
yeah, we're all excited to see it here. Obviously, WSOU, one of the media outlets that covers all your games here on campus. So you had a scrimmage last week against NJIT. Talk to us about that experience. What was that like for you? What were some of the key things that you guys were focusing on?
Just the battle, you know. We just trying to get that mindset instilled in all of our guys just to go out there and just work hard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of guys. A lot of young guys, you know, who's talented, and like Isaiah, and we got, you know, DT, and you know, the rest of those guys, and we just, you know, want them to get the system down pat. So that game was just, you know, to get our feet wet, and you know, it's our first time playing with each other, with the younger guys, and coming off of last year, you know, it was a, you know, okay year for us, but we emphasizing the more of like the winning, trying to bring the winning culture back. So that game was just, you know, to figure out what we need to do and figure out how to play, figure out other people's tendencies and all that, and, you know, just trying to figure everything out as a team.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited to watch it this year. You got to play against former assistant coach Grant Billenmeyer. What was that like? Did he know some of the things that you were doing in that scrimmage because he's been around the Seton Hall Pirates for so long?
Yeah, half and half. I mean, going into the game, we really didn't want to you know, put out a lot of our plays.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we came out there with the mindset of just going with, like, you know, stuck to our three plays, and we were just going to. But, yeah, it's funny that you said that. He got a lot of plays that we run.
Oh, so, really?
Like, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So, we, like, when we was guarding them, like, we had see them go through the same, you know, motions as us, you know, running the same stuff, and we just kind of like, oh yeah, that's similar, that's familiar.
We've seen that somewhere before.
That's
interesting. So yeah. You obviously don't play them in the non-conference schedule. You have your season opener next week against St. Peter's.
Right.
So what are some of the things that you're looking forward to that home opener?
Number one, I'm looking for the fans, you know. You know, see, it's nothing like the Seton Hall fans, especially since, you know, me coming back.
Absolutely.
Coming back home, and, you know, that's one thing that I realized, like, right from the gate, was the fans, you know what I'm saying? So, just want to see the fans again, and I know we're going to put on the show. We've been working hard, like I said, you know, our group of guys has been getting a ton of work done, and we just want to come out there and, you know, give you guys, like, a little show, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
What you said coming back home, and what are some of the things that you've got to experience being home? The family's able to come more, obviously, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's probably one of, like, was that one of the key things coming back to Seton Hall when you were making
that was
decision?
A part of it. That was definitely a part of it, you know, me just to play in front of a lot of family, a lot of friends that I grew up with, and, you know, just the family, that part, you know, that was a part of it. So, yeah, just being able to play in front of the family is always a blessing. So I'm glad I got to do it. Yeah.
It's a great comparison. I know Luters is from Massachusetts, so
okay,
right. A little bit farther of a drive, but I'm right here from Jersey as well. I'm from Pequannock, New Jersey, about 40 minutes-ish away from here.
Okay,
so getting to know that my family has the opportunity to come to every meet, it's special to me. It really is because – I can see them up in the stands. I can pick them out and say, hey, there's mom, there's grandpa, and now I can go roll.
Yeah, and plus, like, too, like, obviously your games are so televised and whatnot, so your family goes, oh, like, we see you on television, whatever. But I know for some other sports around here, like, oh, like, it's only if only the games are close, like, then their family can come. Like, the games are cross-country or down south, whatever, it's not as easy. But to have availability to have your games on television is great because your family can always watch it no matter what. Always crossing people up, shooting threes, the whole deal. So,
Do you have any friends and family that still go, whoa, he's on TV still? Or now that you're a senior, is it more like, oh, yeah, he's on TV. He's always playing.
That's a good question. Yeah, I got a couple of family members that always be like, man, like, he's on TV. Still, you know, still reminisce about the times of me being younger and me being around. I mean, obviously, I'm not around that much more because I'm, you know. But, yeah, I still got some of the family members that just be like, oh, yeah, like wow, he's doing a good job. Like, he's doing our family a good deed. So, yeah, man, I still got a little bit. And then, like, my grandma, because she's been going to all my games, even when I was in Clemson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the crazy fact is, when I went to Clemson, she went up with me. She was...
Oh, no way.
She lived in a town an hour away called Greenville. And she was there throughout my whole 3 years at Clemson, me being in Clemson. She was there.
That's awesome.
So every home game, she was there. And I think if I had to say who was that family member that would be like, I know. It'll be her. You know what I'm saying? So, I'd say my grandmother. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh man, that's so special. And what a cool thing that, like, you're making your family proud, you know, and I can sense that you're like, wow, like, you're on television, you're doing a lot of good things and it's representing your family, you
for
know?
Sure.
And the fact that, like, your grandmother came down with you to South Carolina, like, I'm doing good things down here and now we're back home, we're doing it again.
She's back home. Yeah, she's back home.
Awesome.
That's sweet. She's still going to every home game
Every home game.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a little bit before Seton Hall. Let's talk about before college. So what got you into playing basketball to begin with?
This is my mom. She passed away when I was five. But
sorry.
Nah, all good. I was 5 years old, and this was the story I was told. My grandmother told me. She bought me a hoop and a basketball, and I just, like, in my room, I just sit and play, like spend hours and hours, like, throughout my day just on a hoop, like, no matter what.
It's nonstop.
Like, the rest of my cousins and the rest of the kids outside are playing games. Like, don't get me wrong, I was playing games, but I spent, like, hours and hours, like, just playing basketball. So I just took it and ran with it.
Right.
And then, so I kind of was doing it since middle school. My friends throughout middle school, you know, they were showing me love. They always knew I could ball.
Yeah.
So, like, I was that kid. Like, if you knew Al, you knew he can ball, you know? So, you know, just kind of that love in terms of basketball, like, I was getting that. And I enjoyed it, you know? So, it kept me going. So, I was just playing, and I was always just in the gym throughout my middle school years, always just, you know, teaching myself. It was a time where I had fractured my pinky.
Really?
Yeah, I had fractured my pinky. I don't know what month was it, but I had fractured my pinky. It was during the summertime, and I had a cast on, like, my whole hand.
Okay. Okay.
And I still went to the gym, like, just dribbling with my left hand. But that's kind of why, like, I'm so good going to the left, too. You know, I was just working with my left hand, like, the whole time, like, shooting, too, like, layups.
Right.
Like, not even using my right hand. I had a cast on it, you know what I'm saying? So I was just using my left hand. So a couple moments, couple weeks go by, and I fractured my thumb again on the same.
Oh, my gosh. Same hand.
Wow. Same hand. And it was, like, during the AAU game, too. So, and the crazy thing is, during that game when I fractured my thumb, I still was hooping. Like, I just thought it was jammed. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So here go me. I'm doing this. Like, I'm trying to making it worse.
Oh,
like, you feel me? Like, I'm still shooting out there, driving to the basket, all that type of crazy stuff.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, and then, so, hand was in the cast again. Mm-hmm. But that ain't stopped me, you know.
Right back,
I got right back left hand. You feel me? So, that's how. So, basically, I was just teaching myself a lot of things that, you know, that I bring with me was self-taught. And I used to hoop with my uncles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that were so much older than me. And I was able to play with them. That's how good I was.
You know?
And, you know, that was what made me, you know, my uncles and my cousins, going to the gym with them. And it's a whole bunch of all of that things meshed together. And, you know, so I'm here now.
Funny you mentioned that. So I also broke my left pinky way back when I was in middle school.
What you had did?
Oh, you know, I was hooping, of course. I was playing basketball. I was going up. We put I couldn't jump. I was a little eighth grade guy. I didn't grow yet, you know. And we put the hoop all the way as low as you can, and I jammed it on the backboard. Didn't know I broke it. Went to the hospital. They're like, oh, minor fracture. But for me, I couldn't swim for a couple weeks. I couldn't use my hands, so I couldn't catch any water. So that was a tremendous, like, oh, what are we going to do?
Oh, so you're a good swimmer.
Yeah. So man,
for the people out there that don't know, I can't swim at all.
So this man's the captain.
Yeah, I need help with that. So
hey, you know where the pool is.
I'm scared, man. I really need some assistance. Like,
hey, we can get you in there. But this is how I relate it to. But for 6 weeks, I had a kick. I couldn't do anything with my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So like, kind of like you were saying, you used your left hand, with John, and that's how you got so good at it. So using that injury per se and kind of building off of it, that's how I was able to get a stronger kick and kind of develop myself a little bit faster.
Okay.
So that's huge part of your development. Now, you say you like to drive to your left a lot now, and you mentioned that that's something that you worked on because you broke your right hand pinky. Is there something that where when you, after you broke it, you kind of hesitated a little bit through that injury, or did you just put the head down and go after you were done?
I was risking it, you know. I was just doing it, you know. Mm. I didn't really I obviously, like, me personally, I'm a careful person, so I knew, like, the limit that I can, you know, withhold. So I was just, you know, head down and still doing what I had to do. Still going against people, whether it was 1-on-1, 2-on-2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was doing those kind of things, so that's what got me better. I can go which way now. So that's, like I said, it was self-taught. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
All I think of, I don't follow the NBA too much, but I remember there's a play with Kobe Bryant. Like, he popped his finger.
Oh, he dislocated it.
He dislocated it. Mm-hmm. He's trying to put it back in, but again, trying to go with another.
Hit the free throw.
You're trying to do that.
Yeah. It was hurting too, man. I thought it was, like, the thing was, I thought it was, like swollen. Like, I thought I jammed it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, as I'm pulling it out, it kept going, it kept going down. Like, it kept going
down.
That's
not so we're supposed to go.
You just not know, like, what is going on.
I'm like, I figured out after the game.
Yeah.
Still played the whole
played
game.
Right through it.
Still played.
That's amazing.
Just adrenaline.
I scored a ton. Adrenaline, yeah. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Wow. Do you have, so, I know you mentioned your uncles and how you kind of just, like, they are much older than you and you just hung with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just playing. Do you think that was the main reason to why you got to as good as we are today? Because you're playing with much older people.
Yeah, for sure. They taught me how to, you know, just to go up against anybody, no matter how good they were, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much taught me how to compete.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That was like the competitiveness that we had as a family, you know, go out there. He kick on me, you know, take it on the chin. Like, come on. Like, it's bigger than, you know what I'm saying? Because they knew the route I wanted to go.
Right.
You know, so, you know what I mean? So they were just telling me, like, yeah, this is how it's gonna be. Like, some days it's just not gonna be that, and then some days, you know. But like, as far as the competitive nature, like, they told me that. So yeah, that was a huge part of my life, you know.
Yeah,
huge part.
The competitive nature is so important, especially like I know for basketball, maybe by basketball standards, you're not the tallest or biggest guy.
Right.
But that competitiveness kind of like matches that and takes that over.
Takes everything over.
And
yeah,
like
exactly.
The fact that they knew like, oh, he wants to play Division I college basketball and good Division I college basketball. It's like, we're not taking it easy.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
we
yeah.
want to get him where he goes. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough at times.
Yeah,
like,
that's yeah, exactly. That's how yeah, that's how they was. They had their mind, you know, going mm-hmm. like that was what going through their mind.
Right.
It was crazy because when I was younger at that time, I really, like, talk about competitive nature. I really was doing it because I didn't want to get, you know, kicked on in basketball. Like, I didn't want to be that. I wanted to be that person to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to be top dog. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So every time I go to the gym with them, it's like I'm coming to, you know, get after it. You know what I'm saying? And it was just that. But, like, that at that time, like, I really didn't see my vision or, like, my future. I didn't really have anything. I was just doing it because of how close it, you know, it brought me to people. Like, you know, like, I was connected with people, you know, they knew me because of basketball. Like I said, like I mentioned earlier, like, they knew me for basketball. I was the popular kid on the block because of that. You know what I'm saying? At that time, like, during my middle school time, like, that's what I was doing it for. I didn't have, like, I wasn't on the court, you know, doing my thing, thinking like, yeah, I'm like, obviously I want to go to the NBA,
right?
Obviously,
yeah. Right.
But at the time, I'm from the hood, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was doing it because also it was like I'm also being protected, you know. It's a lot of you know, gang members out there. They knew me for that, you know what I'm saying? They knew not to, you know what I'm saying? They
wow.
even told other people like, that's him, like he got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's Al. Like, leave him. Like, it don't matter what you do. Like, just leave him. So it was that. I was making my family proud, too. So I was doing that. And, you know, since my mom passed, you know, I'm always going to do it for her. You know what I'm saying? So I was doing it for her. And mind you, but that was just the three things that, you know, is bringing me love, protection. And I'm doing it for my mom. Obviously, I want to go to the NBA, but, you know, I wasn't doing it. I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even know what high school I was going to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I still could have went to, like, a public high school.
Sure.
But it was just, you know, I had the right people in my corner, and they knew the route to take, and I just followed, you know? I just followed. It was tough, but I followed, you know? So.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a really tough story. Thank you.
So how did you choose the Packer School out of all the high schools that you could have chosen from?
Yeah, right. So, just the people in my corner, you know, my dad, you know, he started realizing, you know, what I can do with it, and just told me that he had connections, and he knew the high school coach or whatever, and put in the word, you know how that is, and
absolutely,
you know, I came about, you know, and I went there, I went there, and you know, it was a good name, you know, a lot of people came from there, Kyrie Irving, and you know, that's. You know, look, like, when I was young, that was, like, my favorite player. Probably still is to today.
Nice.
And, so I'm like, yeah, I'm going, you know. Took it on, and then, I went there, so.
Any exciting games that you kind of remember from your high school career? You're like, yeah, that game put me on the map in my high school career.
Yeah, it was a couple games. But I got to say, I think it was AAU that really, you know, made me get out there, put my name out there. It was AAU. I played for the New Jersey Players. I don't know if you guys know Isaiah Risco. He played for there. He went to Kentucky. And, yeah, so he played there, and, you know, that was a huge program to play for. So I went there, and then, you know, as I'm traveling and going to these different, you know, tournaments and everything like that, nationwide tournaments, you know, I was, you know, doing my numbers, you know, scoring at a high clip. Winning a little bit, you know, going to championships, and Final Fours and all of that in terms of the tournaments. And that kind of got my name out there, you know. So, like, AAU played a big part in my career. So
throughout our episodes, we've kind of asked different people on how they got recruited. And a lot of it is transitioned to social media. Would you say that's kind of the best way to promote yourself now to get to these top D1 programs? Or do you think there's
today,
another route?
For sure. Yeah. Today, because it's a lot of outlets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, it really wasn't, you know, when I played. I mean, there was a little bit of it, but it wasn't popping as now.
Right.
You know, you got all those guys videoing. All you could do is, like, make a video and just post it.
And then it's
posted on an Instagram or anything.
You know, we had a couple of that, but to how it is now, like if I had that, yeah, it would have been crazy. It's like it's easy, man. It's a lot of outlets, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were getting recruited today, you would have just made a video, submit it out to a bunch of coaches, like an online platform.
Like just like the video, like even like in AAU.
Yeah.
We could probably go like high school, middle school, you know, just making videos like highlights.
And just keep uploading it.
Yeah, you got your camera dude right there.
Yeah.
You can make Dan a life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Okay,
interesting. I never even thought about that.
Yeah. Things to just like put you out there and let the world see you.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, he's my favorite player. I like him.
Right. Right.
You know, it's like I'm going to follow him and I, like stuff like that. I feel like it's popping today.
Mm.
You know, like I wish I could have did that. And I'm starting to do it. Like I'm starting to do it or whatever, but I'm halfway through college trying to focus on, you know, the pro level. So it's like,
sure,
I'm not really spending too much time on just to, but like, you know, grab a guy and like let's do this. But you know, I'm trying to, but at the same time, like way back then, it was a couple people doing that. But at a rate that it is now, it's insane. Yeah,
I was gonna say with all the NIL stuff going on right now,
especially with NIL, name, image, likeness.
Like if you can just put on a day in a life video, I've seen so many of those on YouTube and whatnot. You put those on, you get different brand deals. Like your name just gets out there and probably turns, and you probably understand that. But I think for now, at least where we're in 2023, like that seems like the route across all sports, maybe not even just in basketball.
Facts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you said putting up your numbers before. Would you say that's mostly scoring, or would you try to highlight specific aspects of your game? Like for you, you obviously a scorer here.
Right.
Would you try to highlight, like let's say you're predominantly a assister, would you highlight those assist numbers and like on those highlight tapes show more of your assists, or will you kind of show your overall?
Oh yeah, I was dominant out there too.
Oh, I know.
I was dominant out there too. Obviously, that's what I'm really, you know, progressing and working on now. Well, Ben, since I've been in college. But, yeah, I was doing a little bit of everything, you know, rebounding. And that's the thing I got to do, too, that I've been focusing on and trying to, you know, get better at is to, you know, do it on all levels. You know what I'm saying? Like rebounding. Assist. I mean, I can do it, but I got to do it at a higher rate. And that's what I'm working on, too. So.
Sure.
But, yeah, AAU, I was dominant folks out there.
I would have loved to see a high school highlight tape of you coming out of college. Yeah. It would have been insane, especially to today's caliber of highlight tapes where you were seeing it all over the place.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It would have been nuts. So that's
trust me. Me too, man. Me too.
So that's a perfect transition for kind of our time here at Seton Hall.
Sure.
We mentioned before you were transferred from Clemson, but I want to take it a little bit bigger of a transition here. So what was the biggest transition from you from high school basketball to college basketball?
The biggest transition for real was, I would say, just the time management, you know, like waking up in the mornings and doing a bunch of stuff, not getting back to like 5, 6, and then doing the extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just that, you know, and the pace, I had to get it down a little bit, but that wasn't too much of a difficult thing to do for me, because I was always a fast. Sometimes I had them play, like when I was coming out of high school, I always had plays. I'm just running around like a chicken with his head cut off. So the pace wasn't, you know, too much of a difficult factor for me. But it was just time management.
Hmm.
It was just time management, and that took a while for me to get.
Right.
Knowing how to, you know, knowing when it's time to go to sleep, like everything, you know what I'm saying?
That's 100%.
And it was kind of biting me in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I was bad at that. Like, I'm a type of person, I can't even sleep sometimes. Like, I just can't. Like, I'm an owl, a night owl.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
But this is the time management. Like, classes, you got tutors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got, before all of that, you got weights to start the day.
Oh, yeah.
Getting up at, like, 6. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then it's class, then individual stuff, then practice. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. It was just time management, But it wasn't too difficult to understand, and you know, I feel like everybody has to get that down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it was just a time management.
Yeah, that's a thing with this podcast. We want to kind of like highlight like how hard all the student athletes and all the sports, especially for you with basketball and all the things that you do on and off the court, how much effort that takes, and especially to stay disciplined. What you're saying with the sleep,
because
when you have weight training in the morning at 6, 7 a.m. and then you're going extra hours at night, which you're doing shooting shots and all that stuff in the team, right? Like, that's a lot of demand on your body, and then to get to sleep on top of that.
Like, sometimes you might not even have time to do that, like, to work out at the end. You know, you like you probably need rest. You've been going at it
all
day. So sometimes it's a lot of that. And that's, and like me, when I was in like my freshman and sophomore year in college, like I had to understand that. Like I wanted to just do everything. You know, like sometimes I've like, I think something wrong with me the whole time. It's like I'm not getting that much sleep. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, sleep is a big part.
So what does a typical, you kind of touched on it here before, but what does a typical week of practice here look like under Coach Shaheen Holloway? You've been in two different programs now, so what is one of the things that you like about his practice week?
Yeah, his practice week is, you know, not too much different from, you know, what I've been in and been through. It'd be like I said, it'd be 8 or 9 o'clock weights. Then you have class. I have like, let's say I had like one or two classes. Mm-hmm. Then after that you'll have practice. Sometimes it'd be 1:45 or sometimes it'd be like 2:30. Mm-hmm. And then, so before that, like after class, I'm running back and I'm, you know, I'm getting treatment, a little bit of treatment and just warming up before it get taped.
Right. Yeah.
And then you go, you head out to practice. And then after, for me, like a day in the life, I get treatment after. Mm-hmm. It's been like an hour or something. Mm-hmm. Just getting treatment. And I eat and I relax a little bit. Then I'll come back at night just to shoot and just, you know, do like, you know, a lot of skill stuff. Mm-hmm. Not at 100 miles per hour, just, you know, at a like a moderate speed, just feel reps and everything like that. And then I go back and that's my day. I pretty much go back, get something to eat again and go to sleep. I might wake up and eat again. If I can't sleep, for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And so, do it all over again the next day.
Do it all over again the next day. But sometimes, you know, after practice, after the treatments and stuff like that, sometimes it just be a straight chill day. Like, I'm chilling, getting treatment.
Yeah.
Go back home, chill. You know, just lay down, let the legs get some rest. I'll be running around, man. I'll be running around that court. Y'all gonna see it. Y'all gonna see it, man. I'll be running around that court. So
we can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I definitely notice it. At least you're like, you're everywhere, man. You're everywhere. And it's really insightful. You're saying you're emphasizing a lot on the recovery, like taking your rest, like getting your sleep, like getting your treatment. And
yeah, that's an important thing.
Yeah. And would that be something like you would tell your younger self, like, hey, like emphasize that more?
For sure.
That'd be the thing. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was running around a lot my freshman to sophomore year.
Yeah.
Like running around like, okay, I'm done with practice. I'm done with, like, sometimes I wouldn't even get treatment because I feel like I was good.
Right.
But that was just the young me, just like.
Just ready to roll. Like, here we go.
Ready to roll. Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm on my feet walking around. I was thrifting out there. Mm-hmm. That's where I started thrifting and stuff like that.
Got it.
I'll do that. Just hanging with my friends, you know, people that I met outside like the court. You know what I'm saying? It's regular people that go there. You know, I was hanging with them a lot, just chilling. On my feet a little bit too much, but if I had the mentality that I had now, I'd be way better. Just off of like my body,
right?
Not even my game,
right?
Just my body, because you need your body. Like you need everything,
right?
You need everything to work. You need your mind to work. You need your body to move. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Oh, for sure.
People think about like going hard in practice, but like I think one of the terms in our coaching staff is like go hard with your recovery. Like, you can go hard in practice, but go hard with the recovery. Like, that's almost as important.
Yeah, treat it like the same way, yeah.
Yeah, so, awesome.
It's something I just learned this past year, honestly, from my freshman to senior year. I'm like, okay, we're just going to roll, and we'll do treatment when we can.
Yeah.
Then the injuries start piling up, and the body gets a little sore and more tired. And,
right.
Getting in that ice tub is not my most favorite thing in the world. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I know it's going to make me better. So I hop in the ice tub, sitting there for 8 to 10 minutes, and I'm like, whoo. I'm not going to like it at first, but it's going to make me a little happier at the end of the day.
Yep.
So has there been a game here at Seton Hall, whether it's been non-conference or conference play, that has been the most electric atmosphere that you've been a part of here at Seton Hall, especially at the Prudential Center? I'm thinking of one on the top of my head that I want to see if we have the same one.
UConn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, it was UConn last year.
Yeah. Funny story about that. We had a swim recruit, so it was me and like 8 guys. So we all came to the game, and first half goes by, and 6 guys leave. It's me, a freshman in the recruit. We're like, we'll stay. We'll stay for the recruit.
The faithful fans
the
right
faithful
there.
The faithful fans.
Yeah, respect to him
so
right there.
So we make the comeback, like, and I'm texting in the swim group chat, you guys are never allowed to come back because apparently you're the bad luck charm. So make sure you stay out from the pod. And they were fuming afterwards about leaving that great game. So that was the best atmosphere, you think?
Yeah, the crowd was crazy. I think it was like a sold out game, wasn't it?
I think so.
I believe
it
was sold out. Yeah, it was crazy. That was like probably like the first time that I was like, like Pirate fans is crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They're crazy, and that's what I've been missing, you know. And I can't wait to see it again. So yeah, it was definitely the UConn game.
Oh, for sure.
They'd be electrifying out there. For
I remember my freshman year going to the games and just seeing how many like non-Seton Hall college students that go to the games, like just regular people like around the area. I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
You like it really just be like New Jersey.
Yeah. 100%.
Like New Jersey. And that's crazy. Like New Jersey as a fan base, not even just the Pirate fans, you know.
Right.
Like this Jersey, you have Jersey everywhere. So it's like you see blue everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was like, I can get used to this.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that Rutgers Seton Hall game, though, this year.
Oh, yeah. It was at their place last year.
Yeah.
What's crazy is like this. Look, when I first came here, even when I was – because when I was younger, I used to – like before I went to college, when I was in high school, I used to work out of here a lot. Like downstairs in the auxiliary gym.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I used to work out there a lot, like every day. Mm-hmm. I used to see Miles Powell. I used to see
– oh, no way.
Like Miles Powell, that's my boy. I used to see everybody. I used to be around Kevin Willard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Like, they thought – it was crazy to the point where they thought that I was – like, soon I was getting out of high school, that I'll come here. Because they was like, I'm always here.
You're always here,
and
yeah.
It was true, you know what I'm saying? Like, seeing – like, that was – like, seeing Hall has been my first offer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they kind of thought, you know. But that's another conversation for
another. Yeah.
What I was saying, like, when I first got here, I didn't know, like – the rivalry. I didn't know how crazy it was.
Yeah.
I knew that. Like, I knew we would have, like, that's our rivalry, right? Like,
right.
Rutgers. I didn't understand, like, so much behind it. Like, it's way bigger than that. Oh,
yeah.
It's way bigger than that. Like people actually going insane. Like, like I'm hearing stories, like about, like, 2 years, later, like, that team and the other teams before that, like, they couldn't even go up there to Rutgers, like, whatever they wanted to do. Like, it's that crazy without, like, getting into, like, some type of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's way, like, I didn't understand. But, like last year, my point is last year, like, heading to that game, a couple hours right before, you know, we getting amped up or whatever, I'm like,
you know.
Like, we going to beat them for sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, all right, cool. But, like, everybody else, like, yeah, we got to
lock
you know?
In.
Yeah, we need this. Like, I'm like, yeah, facts. Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, my energy was there, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like, it's just
not to that level.
Yeah. Like the seat, like this, it's just different. Like.
Yeah.
Like it's something that I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. Like.
Right.
Well, get ready for it this year because the last time they were home.
Yeah, we're here.
We're here this year, which I'm excited for. The last time we were home, I was there, and the whole lower bowl was filled. And then on where, you know, our student sections on the one side, opposite side was red. It was a sea of red, like throughout Prudential.
Wait, so our side was blue and that side was red?
Yeah. It was like split 50-50. They opened the upper bowl to student section. That's how filled it was in the student section. It was nuts. No one sat up in the student section. They all came in the stairways and were standing in the stairways.
Oh,
I was one of those guys standing in the stairway the whole game just watching what was going on. And then just the back and forth because – we would go on a run, and the Hall chants would start going. And then Rutgers would go on a run, and the I think it was the RU chants would start going.
The very lame, quiet Rutgers RU chants would get going.
But there was also a section to the right of us, I think, that was just red. So it was a weird thing where it's like you're used to when we have a Seton Hall home game, it's all blue everywhere.
Yeah.
Not a lot of fans travel. Maybe Providence fans travel pretty well. I was at the Providence Seton Hall game last year at home.
Sure.
They travel pretty well. But Rutgers,
couple.
Obviously, you're 45 minutes away. They come out. So
right.
Star that one, Seton Hall fans, because we got to make sure that whole stadium
is for sure. We're going to get that
Make it the three-peat.
Yeah, make it the three-peat.
So talk to us a little bit about your thrifting experiences. You mentioned it a couple times here now. Is that a way for you to kind of just ease back from the basketball life and kind of just have some downtime to yourself?
Yep, that's it. It kind of started my freshman year. I was trying to, you know, do some things. I didn't think I was dressing at my best. If I'm looking back now and, like, looking back and then seeing now, like, where I'm at as far as the transition of, like, me trying to, you know, dive a little bit into the fashion world, I was not as good. Like, I was just trying stuff. I look at my pictures on my phone and be like, what I was thinking. That's so trash. But it started my freshman year, probably, like, towards like, the middle and the end of my freshman year, because, like, that whole beginning was just me figuring it out and figuring who I am outside of basketball. And Clemson did a good job of, like, helping me, you know, as a young man, figuring out, you know, what else is there to do that can, like, you know, attract my attention and, you know, make me, you know, happy or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I was just so that whole beginning was just figuring it out. And, like, I go about, and I went about it as, like, it expressing myself, like, who I am.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I just was trying stuff on. So, like, my theory on that is just, like, for me personally, I just, whenever I thrift, I just go and just get and select, like individual items. Like, I just, I go in a store and I see, like, that's, like, a jacket that I like. I'm like, cool, I'll snatch that. Like, this whole bunch of random stuff. Like, it's not like, you know, with people out there that go and they shop and they get an outfit. Like, I don't do that. Like, I shop and I, like, I grab individual stuff that I like that that grabs my eye. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, yeah, I like that. I like that. Let's see what I can do with that one day.
And then
you
match it, mismatch it with different things.
I mismatch it with, like, stuff that I be getting, like, whenever I go the next time.
Oh, so you're never wearing the same outfit twice then?
Yeah, that's
what I've heard on the streets.
I mean, like, people, heard from David Gabriel. He said you never wear the same thing twice. Is this a true statement by him?
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, see, if I'm going to class, I have, like, sweats on and just a jacket. Like, I don't, like, when I'm going to class, like, especially, like, if I'm just on campus, like, yeah, I won't really, like, try to, you know, dress up or whatever. I'm just going to class. I'm going to the gym.
Right.
Like, my days, my times in a day is spent on just, like, practice, gym, class. But, like, on the weekends and stuff like that, when I have free time, especially, like, before preseason and stuff like that, I was doing a lot of thrifting. I was wearing, like, different stuff, like, each day.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I like, that's my theory of, like, on fashion. I just use it to express myself. I feel like, you know, I feel like a lot of people should do that. I think they are now and today.
Nice.
And, you know, it allows me to just be different. You know what I'm saying? I don't never want to, you know, be the same with other people and how they dress and different things like that. Like, I want to be different. So I thrift because it allows me to be different. It allows me to express myself, express the type of person that I am. And, like, I'm very chill, happy, just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Vibey person. Like, I want everything to just be vibes. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I just go and I just get individual stuff and, whether I go, like, let's say I go 3 days, I go thrifting, like, 3 days out of a week. Like, during them 3 days, I get different stuff.
Each day.
And then it's, like, when it's time to go, like, chill or, like, hang, you know, do whatever, then it's time to, like, put it together. I see you, like, boom, then I just put it on. I'm like, all right, cool. Sometimes I'd be like, nah, let me just switch. Like, the top might not go with, like, the hat. Like, it's just stuff like that. You know, like, I get the hats, bracelets. I'm saying earrings, you know, shoes. And I just, and like now today, like, you know how it was, like, every year, it was like a different era. Like, it was
Yeah,
2-3 years ago, it was like the Dunks era. Like, everybody wearing Dunks and Jordans and stuff like that. Like, yeah, I was doing that. But now, like, during this time, I wear different stuff. Like, you might see me in Uggs. Like, in the summer, I was wearing
Uggs. Are those
Uggs
back? Uggs are back or no?
They are back.
Here we go.
I was in the summer. I was wearing Uggs in the summer. Mm-hmm. Like shorts, like jean shorts, Uggs. People were looking at me like I'm crazy.
You're not hot.
I'm like, bro, I'm comfortable.
I'm comfy. I'm really comfy.
Like, I'm not hot. Like, bro, I went to school in Clemson for 3 years. Mm-hmm. It was just nothing but hot days. Like, like, we wasn't getting snow, anything of that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Might be cold mornings, but it's going to warm up like that. Mm-hmm. So I came here, I'm wearing Uggs because that's what I like. You know, right. I like being different. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I was wearing Uggs, cut off shirt, graphic shirt,
okay,
a hat, and I'm...
And you're set. You're set,
I'm
for, the
set
day.
For the summer.
Right, and you're comfy too.
And that's the thing I go for too. Like, I like to be comfy.
Right.
Like, I like to wear baggy stuff, baggy jeans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like to be comfy. I like to move around. You know, I don't want to be tight and just. Yeah. I want to move around.
Not the beauty hurts stuff. Like, I want you to be comfy, relaxed. Also look good, but comfy, relaxed. I don't have any sense of style like that. You might need to help me out.
Look,
but
the more
I
comfy you
that.
Is, the more happy you'll be. I swear.
That seems so straightforward and simple. I think more people would take notes from that.
No, I swear.
Yeah.
The more the more comfy you is, the more like
relaxed you are, the more ready to go for your day.
Outgoing, like even like the people that's not outgoing, you'll find yourself outgoing. Like you're chilling. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Do you have a article of clothing that's like your favorite, or is it kind of now just
I'm just
adding to the collection?
I'm just it's just broad, like everything. Everything that's like fire. Mm-hmm. Like, if I see an Aeropostale shirt that's fire, I'll wear it. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. Okay. Like, I'll shop. Like, I'll be shopping from Goodwill and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any type of clothes, it don't matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I might have something that's, like, that people will know. Like, I might have, like, some, like, a Goodwill shirt, da da da, but the shoes would be something like so Jordan or, like, Off-White or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I won't. But that's how I mix it up. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I don't know. So do we have anything more? Want to advise to pirate? You want
to
add?
Let's go into advice to pirate.
Right, I can take that one over.
This is a good one. Yeah. I'm excited for this one. I want to see what you have to.
Yeah. So we're kind of this is kind of your last two sections, like wrapping up here and whatnot.
Right,
and
right.
I noticed that with you, like when you kind of first came here, just talking in the training room, you were so open and so kind and so positive with me, and that maybe come from the baggy clothes, being comfortable and whatnot now. But I think it's a testament to your personality and all that, being very positive with not just the basketball guys, it seems, but with everyone, all the student athletes.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I'm on the baseball team and all the baseball guys saying, like, yeah, like, I would say, hey, what's up, how you doing? I'm like, I didn't even think I knew him before, but he just said, what's up, and being really kind.
Yeah.
Is that something that you instilled, like, from, like, an early age, or did you develop that? And what advice would you give to someone, like, trying to be more positive and trying to be more outgoing?
I like this question.
Yeah.
So when I was younger... When I was younger, I wasn't really open. I was, like, in my shell. Probably won't even say nothing to you if I didn't know you. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, I had my friends that knew me very well, mm-hmm. and I was able to just do anything around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was that. And I think a lot of what you were saying about me now, like, being more, that developed in Clemson.
Okay.
Clemson is, like when you hear Southern hospitality, that's really true. Like, it's really real, live in effect. Like, it's really something. And, like... Being there them 3 years, that's all I was getting. No matter, like, where I'm from, no matter, like, how I dress, it's like they accept you for you. Mm-hmm. They're going to say what's up no matter if it's a good day or a bad day. Like, what's up? Like, what you doing? Like, how was your day? Mm-hmm. We chilling by the boat later tonight. You want to come? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
And that's just natural. Like, they doing that without even, like, knowing you.
Got it.
They just like, what's up? Like, you want to chill? We just chilling. If you want to do it, you fine to come. And then, like, even when... So, let's say I come, right? And I see a lot of friends that... A lot of his friends or that individual that said that to me, mm-hmm. I see a lot of his friends. And they'll be on the same timing as him, not even knowing me. Like, what's up? Like...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, that's what I was getting in them three years. And that kind of, like, you know, helped me mm-hmm. grow and just, like, hey, like... Even though I don't know you, like, I still want you to have a good day. Like, go be successful. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, go be happy. I just want everybody to be happy. You know what I'm saying? And like, coming here, I knew, like, I knew, as far as the basketball team here, that it wasn't a lot of that from the previous years. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it was because of, like, you know, like, whether it was cockiness or, like, you know, I'm too good to do this or I'm too good to... Oh, like, nah, I can't do that. That's embarrassing if I go, like, talk to other teams or other sports. Like, nah, sure. That's never mm-hmm. – it should never be like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all working hard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, even though I'm getting up in the morning, you doing the same thing as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, like, I know. So, I'm like, what's up? Like, if I can do that to, like, help you go on with your day, I'm going to do it for sure. Like, what's up? You know what I'm saying?
That is a phenomenal Fantastic. Answer. Like, now we were coming up with this question, I was like – I don't really know, like, what maybe somebody says he's always been like that or whatever, but mm-hmm. man, there's a lot of real intention behind that. Like, you, when you were saying that, you're like, man, like, I care about you. I don't really know you super well, or I might know you super well.
Sure.
But I care about you. I want you to have an awesome day, and I respect the grind that you're doing as a student athlete. So huge props to you on that.
Appreciate it.
The biggest takeaway, I think, no matter that person that you're dapping up and saying hello to could be having a terrible day, and that one little act of kindness can kind of switch it.
And that's, come from Alamir Dawes. Yeah, like, oh, he said hello to me. Yeah,
well, a lot of people, like, when I first got here, even last year, like, just like I could feel the energy, like wherever I go, mm-hmm. and like the tension.
Mm.
So like when I'm walking, in like the training room where I see all you guys, yeah. where I met you, and
yeah.
when I see last year I felt it, and like I say hi, what's up or whatever, and they look at me like,
yeah,
not because of they probably not me,
mm-hmm.
but they just like nah, that don't happen here,
yeah.
you know, and I'm like. And it'll leave me bamboozled. I'll be like,
like, all right, that's
where's
changed.
The high back?
Yeah. yeah, that's changed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so even, and then even still, like, me to even go still do the things I do after seeing that, like, some people won't even, like, nah, I ain't saying what's up to him. Like, I kept going with it. Because I knew, like, seeing Hall, it wasn't, you know, like, the basketball players, they label us as, like, we cocky or, like we just think we're better than everybody, but obviously, like I don't think like that. Mm-hmm. Like honestly, like, I don't think like that, bro. Like everybody is the same, you know. Everybody got problems. Everybody go through something. You know right. what I'm saying? And like I want to be that joy, and I want it to happen. Like vice versa, you know. Mm-hmm. So like I just try my best to just say what's up, dap people. Like you know, it don't matter what type of clothes I wear. It don't matter the popularity I might have. Like I'm still gonna rock out with you if it's genuine, wow. if the vibes are equal, like I'm gonna amazing. Rock out. It don't matter. Like I'm not that type of person, bro. I play basketball. That's it. Like,
amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
I got such respect for that, man. I think everyone listening that doesn't know you as well, be like, wow, like
yeah,
he really
sure.
has a lot of intention
mm-hmm.
with that. So I'm a lost words.
Yeah,
really.
Amazing, yeah. amazing answer, and thank you for that. And we're gonna enter our last little segment here. It's called Walk the Plank. And I kind of touched on it before. They're quicker-paced questions.
Yeah.
I hope you're ready. I got some burning questions on my mind here.
I think I'm ready. I think.
You think? You think?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's just go.
Favorite pregame meal?
Oh, that's easy. Pizza.
Pizza? What kind of pizza? Just plain pizza?
So I like the Trat. Trat is like my best.
Yeah. Go-to. Oh, yeah.
It's like my favorite store that I go to every time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time. Like, the amount of pizza I eat. Like, if you guys witnessed it, you'd be like, nah. This man crazy.
He's about to drop 30 points just around the whole pie.
I can eat pizza, like, every day, every second. So, Trat. I like Trat. I think pizza. My go-to is pizza.
Awesome.
Okay. Funniest team member on the Seton Hall men's basketball team?
That's a good question. On this team we got different type of funnies.
I mean, so you can do a few answers.
Yeah.
If you want.
Yeah, it's a couple. Yeah, Isaiah mm-hmm. Coleman, the freshman. He's funny in a way like what are you doing? Like that type, like that type of funny, like not like he naturally funny just what he do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Kadari. A lot of people don't like see him and be like, nah, or like watch him play and be like, nah, I don't think he's a funny guy off the court, but he's really funny. like it's just the stuff he say. Like he's like a clever funny. Like,
mm-hmm.
like how can you say that? Like type of funny, you know what I'm saying? And then who else we got? It's them two for sure. And mm-hmm. And the third one would be Sada. I don't know if I can't pronounce his last name.
Okay.
Sada. Yeah. But yeah, it's Sada just because like of who he is.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to be funny and it actually works. So I say Sada.
Hey, fair enough. We like the funny people here.
Yeah.
So your whole team is doing a dunk contest. Who would win?
Isaiah Coleman.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
He got bounced. Yeah, that boy could jump.
That's gonna be what we say to see on the court.
Yeah, that boy
each and every
jump.
Day. When talking to David Gabriel, we kind of found out you have all different handshakes with all your different teammates.
Teammates.
Do you have a favorite one to do with a certain teammate, or kind of all on an equal playing field?
Yeah, the one me and DeAndre Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, the one me and him has, I like that a lot. We kind of have made it last year. There's a couple of guys on the team that I got the handshakes with, but mm-hmm. it's some that I didn't figure out what to do yet, but that'll come. Yeah. That'll come before Monday. I got time. I got time. But yeah, I like the handshake with the fellas before the game, just to let them know, like, you know, let's do it. We here. You know, I'm for you. Mm-hmm. I know you for me. I got your back. You got my back. This type of stuff, type of vibe going there.
Yeah. So yeah. The one you got with Dre, like, is that like after a big point? Is that after a big one? You're walking back.
Well, that's like before the game.
Oh, before the game. All right.
Before the game, end it off. When I see him around, what's up? Mm-hmm. If I see him around in the locker room, that type of thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Do you have, we've talked about your thrifting. Do you have your best outfit before game here at Seton Hall that you can remember? Like, is there a specific game that you can remember? You put together something so good.
Yeah.
Wow, I did that.
It was the one. I don't know what game you played. It might have been Creighton. I don't know. I don't know for sure. But it's when I had, it's on my Instagram. It's when I had the, so when I had the Skull Russell hoodie, You guys know about the Russell?
Yeah.
I had a Skull Russell hoodie. It was black. It had like white smoke skulls on it. I don't know if it was smoke. I can't remember. But it was smoke skulls on it. And I had the pants that I'm wearing now. I don't know. But I had black pants, black denim pants with Jordans, the 50 for 50 Virgil black Jordans. And I think that was a tough fit that I put together. Like, it was, like, now that I'm looking back at it, it was mad quick. Like, I didn't even know if it looked good until I took the pictures. Like, it was a time where I was taking, it was like before we get on the bus. Like, we all meet at the locker room. Mm-hmm. You know, all the managers get the stuff with the equipment put on the bus. And I'm like, I got there a little bit early, and I had my dog Trey that went here last year. He was taking pictures of me. I'm like, yeah, take these pictures real quick. Let's see how it turned out. And it turned out mad good. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it was a Creighton game. But yeah, that was my favorite fit.
Well, we'll have to pull it up and we're gonna we'll put it on.
Yeah,
our social
pull it
media.
Up.
We'll,
yeah,
we'll,
go take a look.
We'll
yeah,
we'll definitely
go take
put
a look.
It out
we'll
there.
Take a look.
That's definitely the look good, feel good, play good, right?
Oh yeah, I had a cut.
You know,
I had to have one of those.
All right. Nice. Yeah. Last one for me. Describe your playing style in one word.
Swaggy.
Why swaggy?
Love that.
Like you said, man, look good, play good. So, you know, I just try to be, you know, flashy out there. At the same time, you know, I try to captivate and just do my thing out there, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd say swaggy. Why not swaggy?
Yeah,
swaggy. Not?
Love that.
Love it.
That's a great answer. Anything else from you?
I'm all good.
Do you want anything else you want to add on before we wrap things up?
Man, shout out to Pirate fans, man. You guys, respect. You guys really show the colors out there, man. Can't wait to see y'all this year. We're going to rock it out again. Prudential Center. Start Monday, the first game.
Yes, indeed.
If you guys could come out. Do it, man. Ooh, appreciate awesome. You guys for having me, for sure.
Of course. Thank you for coming on. We'll definitely be there.
Yeah.
We can't wait.
And I know, as I said before, you have an extremely busy schedule for you to take the time to come on here. For all the listeners that are going to listen to this and all your following and whatnot, they're going to really appreciate this. And thank you for being who you are and learning all these really cool stories and insights from you, man. Like, you're a really beautiful human being, all the things you do on and off the court, what you mean to this university, what you mean to your family, what you mean to this fan base. So thank you for being who you are, and good luck this season, man. Lots
appreciate
of love.
It. Appreciate
lots
it,
love.
My guy.
Yeah.
And that's going to wrap up episode 12 here with Alamir Dawes from the Seton Hall men's basketball team. I'm Justin Osterwick, joining alongside Jonathan Luters and Alamir Dawes. We will see you next time for episode 13.